again to unpack the Sermon on the Mount. As we do this, we want to get a sense of what it means. And we want to get a sense of the pathway that Jesus is setting forth for his disciples. This is not a small thing. He's setting the way, a path, and a possibility to change the world. If you're reading in Matthew from the beginning, you'll see it starts with the birth of Jesus, then John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus, then the temptation, and the disciples are called, and then there's this healing. And it's the huge numbers of people came to be healed. And they followed him. And then it said he sort of went off to, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. When he sat down, for those that had an interest in being his disciples, they sat down. Yes, that's true. They sat down, and it was an invitation to come and to listen and to learn. Now, some people ask, why did he stop this ministry of healing that we're doing so much good? What made him do that? Well, part of it is it was a preventative he was seeking. If people with right attitudes and hearts, it keeps them from any illnesses. Two, it was a chance for him to have time with his disciples, those he had chosen, and those that were desperate to follow him, who desperately wanted to be his disciples. And finally, he realized the power that his words, speaking the words of God, had to heal the inside of the people who followed. It was Jesus' priority for what's inside of you. It's Jesus' priority for what's going on inside of you. He was forever drilling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he called them blind guides. He called them hypocrites. He says, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside, you're still full of ungodly ways and thoughts. First, clean the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside will become clean. And so it's an invitation to invite God to be part of us, to be inside of us, to make a difference in us. Now, as we begin this journey, the first part of it, of course, is the Beatitudes, and we'll look at a Beatitude each week. When you see the word blessed, it actually has, the Greek word has a whole bunch of meanings that are fairly similar, but it's been translated different ways. One good translation for blessed is, let's see if you can figure out what a good translation, I'll give you a clue. First word of the phrase that describes blessed is oh happy day. It's the announcement, it's the pronouncement of the possibilities that await. The possibilities that await the disciple who draws near to God and seeks him with all of his heart. The possibility of the outsider, those written off, those that have no place in the world's agenda. The people he had been healing, the demon-possessed, those with seizures, various diseases, probably leprosy, the paralyzed. People that would not even touch them. People that would walk out of their way. Beggars who would come and plead for mercy. The rest of the world sort of, Pastor, have you ever seen someone who's, you're going down a street and you see this person and you just walk around them? Jesus not only did not walk around it's an old happy day. The opportunity of the kingdom is for you. I was reading Dallas Willard, who wrote The Divine Conspiracy, wrote that some years ago, real blessed book. And he challenged in this book, he said, make your own beatitude. We can say unhappy or blessed. Blessed, who's desperate? Just in your mind, fill in that. Blessed are those who they have someone in mind. It has a two-sided way, so the heads and tails. One are those that are living out, they're living in a blessing. But the other side is an invitation to live out the blessing. Tom Wright, he translated blessings as wonderful news. If you look at the Greek word, it implies the action of someone. So to translate it even better than Tom Wright, is Jesus' wonderful news, or God's wonderful news. Bruner, a scholar, he says, God bless. And if you ever got the notes from God, almost always I write on the bottom, Lord bless. Because God's invitation is to you. Now, I'm looking at all of these things. Dallas Willard said, Jesus is highest good for the hopeless, for those written off. Now, I was trying to think, how do we synthesize when he says blessed, where we celebrate those who are living it out, and offer the opportunity for those to seek that way. And I came up with my own translation of blessed. I'm going to give you a clue. I hope. Happy trails to you. I saw that from Roy Rogers. But it's an invitation to follow the blessed trails, the happy trails, to reorientate your life. We can fill in blessed are the desperate. Blessed are those that are filled with even great sin. But to receive the blessing, it's a call to turn to Jesus, to turn around, the word repentance, to come to Jesus and let go of the things in the way of the blessing. And it's a pathway. And as you follow the Beatitudes of Jesus, it's important to realize that the Beatitudes are the attitudes of Jesus. Did you hear that? The attitudes are the attitudes of Jesus. How important are attitudes? Now, if you have an employee and they do what you tell them to, or if you're a teacher and the student does what they tell you to, what you tell them to do, but he has a bad attitude, what happens? It undoes that which they would do. Even once or twice in 39 years, Anne has said to me, and even to our children, once or twice, I don't like your attitude. I want you to realize that these Beatitudes, these blessings, these happy trails, are pathways that draw us closer to Jesus. When we did the Ten Commandments, we know the first few commandments are to draw you to God. worship Him. And this, the Beatitudes, are like that which help us to understand and to live out in a healthy way the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. The rest of the Sermon on the Mount is probably the most demanding part of Scripture in faith. It was said of Luther, it was said of C.S. Lewis, that they routinely said they didn't like the Sermon on the Mount. They realized their need for it, but they didn't like it because they felt that they could never live up to it. C.S. Lewis even felt worse about the Beatitudes than the rest of the Sermon on the Mount because it called for something deeper. So when we turn to God, the attitudes begin to change, and the trail towards God is happy trails. A way of understanding this, any of you who had someone you love, let's say a child, but it could be a lover, a husband, a wife, someone you cherish, have you ever heard this expression? You are more beautiful when you smile. Have you ever heard that? And the smile is where you're receiving that which they're hoping for. And the Beatitudes is God's challenge to us to receive that which He hopes for us, so that we have this inner peace, this inner beauty. You know, over the years, I've counseled, I don't know how many people, but some of the people were really striking physically. But inside, they felt ugly. And sometimes what that does is you can't get over the inside. And it affects everything you do. And Jesus is calling us to let God make us beautiful. Deeply that, and then it permeates the rest. And we did Philippians 2 because it's sort of Paul's version of the Beatitudes. He's seeking to encourage, and he says, if there's any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy. And just like Jesus will say, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's Paul's invitation, just as Jesus did, to walk the path of Jesus. Throughout time, throughout the whole Gospels, when Jesus sees someone hurting, they often say, and He had compassion upon them. And He sought to comfort them. And He wept. And they said, see how much He loved them. As it goes on, complete my joy by thinking the same way, by having the same love, by being united and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility think of others better than yourself. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We have the Samaritan woman caught in so much of her sin. He offers her the streams of living water. And He shows her the path that she's gone wrong and invites her to the happy trails, to the new way of doing it. And she receives water that fills her, satisfies her. It says instead in Philippians, instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Wherever Jesus went, the poor, the outcast, the written off, they would come and say, Lord, have mercy upon us. And Jesus would offer him the pathway of the kingdom. He would offer them His healing. He'd offer them His love. And most of all, He'd offer them the path deep within that leads to God. It goes on to say, adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. In different translations, they use different words for attitude. But in the Greek, it means the same. do we really seek? When we have our heart, it's something we can't hide. Do you know, over the years, I've talked to hundreds of people that wish someone they loved would draw closer to Jesus. And very often I talk to them, and their attitude towards the person is one of anger that they're not there, one of disappointment that the person is not there, one of seeing what's wrong with the person they hope to come to God. And their attitude is the barrier to the trails, to the pathway of God, to the kingdom. If the kingdom is within, I remember this old preacher, I was at his church one time, and the people were frowning like some of you are now. And he said, if you're happy and you know it, let your face know it. But what it really is, if God has blessed us, we should exude mercy and grace and compassion upon others so that they know we're rooting for them, not judging them. And it says he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of the cross. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Imagine if you couldn't see well, and some of you have actually gone through surgeries where there was something blocking your vision and it takes, it's removed and you see. And it's such a blessing to see, particularly if you're vision has ever been threatened, and the opportunity to see God. And Jesus knows that we see God best when we see him inwardly and offer that to others. And it goes on about blessed are those that are persecuted for his name's sake and whatnot. I think of Jesus, he's on the cross, and of the centurion said, surely this was a righteous man. What we're inviting you to is to a pathway, a trail, a happy tree, to draw deep within, closer to God, through reading his word, and I really challenge you to be in his word. Through praying to him, and I challenge you just to talk to God. If you don't know how to pray, just go somewhere where no one is there and start talking to God like you would anyone else. And tell him that you need him or what you seek from him. Or for him to show you. And he will. And when he enters in, hungering thirst for that which you don't know how to fill begins to be filled. He came to bless you. To bless you as you seek him and to invite you to seek him. And does it include this? Probably the one thing I've said to you more than most anything else in the last 5.5 years. How do you play hide and seek with God? If we seek God, you'll find us. And we'll enjoy the seeking in the weeks ahead for the particular verses as we see the qualities and the wonder of Jesus' attitude towards us that he makes available.